Do you like to be the first? Name of your sex tape? Well, if you like to be the first to listen to podcasts, you might want to check out our Patreon, because now we're offering a brand new membership tier called Name of Your Sex Tape. I couldn't help it, guys. I'm sorry. For £5 a month, you'll get an ad-free version of our weekly episode on a Tuesday, a full day earlier than its usual release. So you can be the very first to talk about how funny our guest was, how quickly you cracked the case, or how badly I answered a question. Plus, you'll get all the benefits of our regular tier, including our live Zoom records, a special shout out on the podcast, and if you really like to hear us talk, we've got an entire back catalog of extra content. Check it out on patreon.com/drunkwomensolvingcrime.
Name of your sex tape. Name of your sex tape.
Name of your sex tape.
Fancy coming along to see Drunk Women Solving Crime live?
Ooh, yes, please.
Why not join us for our monthly London residency at the marvellous Museum of Comedy? We've got monthly shows through to June.
Plus, every show is a double header, so you get to see us record not one, but two episodes with two fantastic guests.
You can find tickets on our website, drunkwomensolvingcrime.com.
Shows are selling out fast, so be quick.
Noice.
Noice.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number smart beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
Drunk women solving crime.
Drunk women.
Drunk women solving crime.
Drunk women.
Now it's time for drunk women solving crime.
Hello! Good evening, everyone! Hello! My God, give us a cheer if you listen to the podcast, Drunk Women Solving Crime. Oh my goodness, hello, we've got a lot of you in tonight. That's the Scottish bank holiday effect, I think. Welcome, welcome. And give us a cheer, don't be shy if you've never listened to the podcast. Okay, and give us a cheer if you were just too nervous to cheer. We'll come back to you. That's fine. I've got to give just the briefest shout out to one of our number one fans who is here, Sarah. This is her fourth night in a row.
Hey, Sarah!
Thank you for coming along.
Welcome.
And I love her because we both adopt greyhounds, and so we are basically gods. Yes, exactly. Exactly. Thank you so much. I would love to introduce my co-detectives. I mean, you'll see their skills soon enough, but there's so much else that they do with their lives. My name's Taylor Glenn, and don't worry, I'm the only Yank. It's okay. And if it helps, you can pretend I'm Canadian. Just like me that little bit more. Do you know what? Let's start with Katie Wilkins.
Hello.
Katie,
Hi.
Are you well?
I'm pretty well.
Good.
My kids aren't here at the moment. I've been sleeping like you wouldn't believe.
That's fantastic.
Yeah. And I FaceTime them and they shake the iPad and pretend it's an earthquake.
They're doing all right on their own, aren't they?
Yeah, I think they're fine. They've made their own fun without me. They're fine.
Oh, that's
just natural
fine.
Disaster. Come
on. Children should be shaken, not hurt. No.
That's terrible advice,
that's
Taylor.
That's not at all. And on that note, Hannah George.
Yay! ladies and gentlemen, I'm not drinking tonight for obvious reasons.
Oh.
Yay. I don't have to drink because I'm very hormonal, so...
Do you want to sit over there, actually? She's been a little bit frightening.
She's kind of a wild card at the moment.
Yeah, anything can happen. I'm a bit crazy and horny. So. Anyway, enjoy the show. Thank you. Namaste. Thanks for coming.
This one man just looked at his wife like, can I? That's up to her, sir. Okay, shall I bring on our guest?
Yes!
And we'll get cracking? I think so. Please welcome to the stage the fantastic actor, comedian, writer, all-around legend, it's Bridget Christie!
Yay! Bridget!
Hello!
Welcome!
Welcome, Bridget!
Thank you very much for having me.
Hello, thanks for being here.
Pleasure.
Bridget is dry.
Bridget's dry.
Oh, you've already got one open. I just wanted to sniff it.
Thank you. Shall I do it? Is that an awkward angle?
Okay.
This is the show, guys. We just we just have a bit of a chat. Yeah. Fill glasses and you watch. We always ask our guest the same question to start the show, and that question is, Bridget, have you ever... We always call them Bridget. It's very confusing. For once, it works. Bridget, have you ever been the victim of a crime yourself?
Yes.
Okay.
Oh, it was in 1999.
Okay.
On the subway.
Oh, yeah.
Going from Queens to Flushing Meadow.
Oh.
I'm not into tennis, and I've never been to a tennis, and I don't really know anything about it.
Okay.
But my ex at the time, we were travelling, and he wanted to see a tennis game. At Flushing, there's a competition. What's that one?
The US Open, I think?
Yes.
Yeah. it's one of the bigger ones.
Name of your sex tape.
Name of my sex tape, yes. I don't think we're allowed to name each other's sex tapes, Hannah, but all right, we'll let it go because of the mix that's going on. Please, Bridget, sorry.
Oh, no, I think this is better.
No. No, it's not. So you're there against your will, about to watch the US Open. You're in Queens, traveling by subway.
I didn't mind going.
Okay.
I thought I'll probably get a drink and some crisps or something.
Yeah. Yeah. There's something in it for you, yeah.
Yeah, something in it for me. So a proper gang got on.
Okay.
And there was about 20 of them. And they were all very high on drugs. And most people either went up to the other side of the carriage or they just looked at the floor and they looked really frightened. But I was standing up and I was like, I'm from Gloucester, I'm in New York. And so I was like, oh, they look pretty cool. And
just doing a little wiggle.
Yeah, I'm a happy person. I was wiggling. And so I was stood up and they all sort of got on and I was holding on. I was standing up and I was holding on. There was one guy and he just came up and he stood right in front of me and he was really, really tall as well. So I was sort of at his chest height. And then, I don't know why I think this is, it is quite funny. Anyway, but then he spat and it went on my jacket like that.
He spat?
I'm not sure it was at me, but it was on me.
What, you think there's a chance he didn't see you?
I'm not that small. I'm not.
So he did it on purpose.
Oh.
I'm not going to call it. I think he. Okay. So he was here and I was here.
Yeah.
And it went on me.
Okay.
It feels very much like I'm going to spit where I want to spit, and if you're in the way, it's going on you.
I'm not sure he even thought that far.
Okay.
But what then happened was, I went. Ooh. Oh. And I don't know why I did this. I went, oh, I think that's yours.
Wow. Yes.
Now.
Oh, wiped it back on him.
Yes.
Genuinely.
Wow.
Yes. Now, I was very cavalier when I was younger.
I really love this.
And this was before I had children, and I'm not sure that I would do that now because I have responsibilities. But when I was younger, I was a bit sort of, I didn't overthink things.
Yeah.
So what happened was this. The carriage went silent.
Wow.
Yaha.
The whole gang looked at me. My ex-boyfriend who was there, I thought he was going to die of fright. The train stopped.
How did the train know?
We were it was in a tunnel or something. Because I thought, we'll be getting off in a sec to see some tennis. Here you go. But then the train stopped. No, not nothing to do with this.
Right.
Okay.
Oh, it was just at the station?
It was in between stations.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Oh, okay.
It just stopped cause to let another train through.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
They were trapped. They were trapped in a tunnel.
We were trapped in a tunnel. The train stopped. I did that. It was all silent. Now, because it was a gang, I suddenly thought, oh, I know a little bit about this.
Wait.
He's going to have to do something to get his status back.
Right.
So I went... like that. And then another guy, who I think was even more high status, went... She's all right, like that.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And then the whole gang laughed. The whole gang laughed, including him, but it was like he was waiting for this guy
to give the,
to say it's fine.
Do we kill her or do we
exactly
giggle at her? You got the okay.
Yes.
Wow.
And it was okay. But then my ex said, if you ever do anything like that again, because he said that they would have gone for him first, not me.
Oh.
Is that a crime?
It sounds like there could have been a worse one. That's the good news.
But I think you just...
I love that, though, your ex going like, how dare you make me stand up for you, potentially? Absolutely fucking not.
I think that you just... I think you just react in different ways in different situations, you know, and...
Was that, like, essentially your first gig? Like, you got a laugh and you were like, so I need some of that.
No, I'd been going a long time and doing much worse than that.
I don't know about every gang's initiation ritual, but I think you're a member. Like, it feels like that was more of a, like, she's one of us. I don't know if you've ever reached back out, like, hello, hello, Crips. It's Bridget.
Yeah. I don't know.
Bridget.
I did know a biker gang as well when I was younger, and I don't know if, like, they were just friends.
Okay.
But one of them had a ferret.
Wow.
And he was called Ferret, the man. And I think that an initiation thing was that you had to hold the ferret, and if it bit you, your reaction to that because I just kept being given this ferret.
So you're in that gang as well?
I don't think I made it in, no.
Okay, okay.
Did the ferret bite you?
It did, yeah, but it's a ferret. They've got tiny little teeth.
So how did you react? Were you cool?
I went, oh, that's so cute.
Oh, okay, nice. Yes.
But then I was not part of that gang.
No, it sounds like you should be in.
I think I should have probably...
Yeah.
But I think when you're bitten by an animal, I think you should generally stay calm, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Apparently, no matter how big or small.
Yeah. Aren't you supposed to have a dog, like... latches on with a bite, you're supposed to stick your finger up the bum.
Up the
bum.
Is
that true?
It is true, yeah.
Yeah, from the audience.
I just want to make sure before I do that one day.
You have to get someone else to stick there. A passerby.
Yeah, excuse me, sir. Have you got a finger?
Wow. I have heard that, yeah.
Were you scared at any point in this interaction?
In that big silence, I thought, I wonder which way this is going to go.
Wow. Right.
But I don't know if it was frightened that I was feeling. I think I had a bit of adrenaline.
Wow.
But I wouldn't say that I was scared. But I'm from Gloucester. I know I keep saying that, but...
Yeah. Is it a tough place?
I feel stupid for asking now.
I don't know if it... Well...
There's ferret biker gangs.
Yeah.
But this was a long time ago. This was the
80s. Uh-huh.
So what's that? How did being from Gloucester serve you? Like, what was the prep that you got in Gloucester that you wouldn't get in?
Well, I think Gloucester people had, how can I put it? They're just out with it, you know? They're
it's quite upfront.
Yeah, right. You call people out.
Okay.
I would say that was a Gloucester person trait.
Okay, cool. Got it.
Out with it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's how my dad would say, we're just out with it.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah. So, like, you wouldn't go, oh. Like, Cheltenham's very different.
Okay.
You know, they've got a book festival and a jazz festival. So in Gloucester, if something bites us, we go, it's fine.
Well, and yes, and the proverbial ferret on the subway was ready to bite you, and you just stayed calm, and it absolutely worked. What a badass move.
Yeah, that's amazing.
Because if I did that, I'd be dead.
Like, you don't know, though. I think every...
Yeah, I do.
Every... I've got friends who've, when they've been mugged, they've done, like, crazy things and gotten out of it. I think you have to just try and weigh up every different scenario, don't you?
Yeah. This is true. This is true. Well, and when people share these stories, we found that the fight or flight response, it looks very different in different people.
Because if you show fear, if I'd shown fear on the train, maybe that would have worked against me.
I think it probably would have. Yeah. But it sounds like you were just so casual about it. They're like, we can't take this woman down.
Yeah.
None of our weapons are going to work against this Gloucester charm.
But my accent might have helped as well. They were like, there's an English person going to the tennis.
100% it helped. We will forgive anything for your accents. You should see the shit bags I dated in New York just because they were like, hello, I'm from Nottingham. And I'm like, oh, that sounds very, very posh and sexy.
That was an incredible Nottingham accent as well. Well done. No, really good. Really good.
I can do all the regions. Bridget, we always ask on the podcast, if you had the perpetrators in front of you now, I mean, we can picture all 20 of them lined up, wherever they are today, what would you say to them or ask them or do with them? Or
I'd say, I'm not sure you meant to do that, but it was yours, and so I hope...
You double down, basically.
Yeah. Awesome.
Oh, that is fantastic. Oh, thank you very much. Have either of you ever, like, stood up to a gang?
Absolutely not, no. Cara, Tilly and Charlotte at school, nope. I was like, you do whatever you want, girls.
Yeah, I think I would have hid under the seat, because I know that subway and there's room under the seats. Just dive right under. Oh, my goodness.
I don't think I've ever been brave. Is that what horrible realization?
No, that's not. That's
I think
not
it true. Is.
But you're pregnant.
Oh, yes, it's very brave.
That's very brave.
It's very brave, actually. Even just being here tonight is very brave.
Yes,
thank
very
you.
Brave.
Thank you.
All these people.
It's a real show of courage, you sitting down.
Well, no, it is, actually. Yeah, it's really good. It's really good.
No, I
agree. Since I've got pregnant, Taylor has never called me this before, but keeps calling me, honey.
I've turned into my mom, who, by the way, is Hannah's biggest fan. Seriously, I'll send her, like, we had a nice bit of press this weekend, great, I sent the link, and she went, how's Hannah feeling? My daughter was assigned to make Christmas cards one year, and it was like, let's all make a Christmas card for your family, so we had it in the envelope, we opened it up Christmas morning, no joke, I opened it up, and it said, dearest Hannah, wishing you the loveliest Christmas and happy new year.
We
threw it into the fire. That'll learn her. Right. Well, thank you so much, Bridget. That was a fantastic story. Are we now ready to solve some true crime?
Yes.
Yay! I think we are. Well, guys, this is the case of someone called Jefferson Soapy Smith.
Ooh.
So, Jefferson was born into a fairly wealthy family in the state of Georgia in 1860. Your very first question is, what do you think his father did? Because, of course, his mother...
Fucked his mom, yeah! Oh, sorry. I guess, like,
and
I know about
off.
That now. I know how it works. And it is horrible, isn't it? Never again.
So we have that from Hannah. What do you think his father did?
Well, so he's in Georgia, and he's rich.
Yeah.
And it's 1860.
Yeah.
It's not going to be a nice job, is it?
Did he have some cotton?
Some what?
Cotton.
Cotton. Oh,
railroads.
Okay. Do you know what, Bridget? You are correct.
Oh,
yeah.
Well, technically.
Well,
so his father was an attorney, but his grandfather was a plantation owner, a cotton plantation.
Boo.
Well done on your lovely American history. So when the Civil War ended in 1865, the family lost all of their land and money. Poor white people. and they moved to a town called Round Rock, Texas. Now, Round Rock was a dodgy stop-off town where you could find gambling, sex workers, and beef.
How does that compare to Gloucester? Gambling, sex workers, and ferrets.
I don't know if you should do it in that order. That's up to you. I always like to finish off with a burger. Now, Jefferson, a.k.a. Soapy, was charming, charismatic, and soon he got in with the wrong crowd. He joined forces with someone known as Texas Jack, who was known for his gunslinging.
Surely in Texas, that's just Jack. Like,
what year is this now, then?
So we are up to... I didn't write it down,
Bridget. 10 years later, 20 years later?
Yeah, something like that.
So 1880?
We're almost to 1880. I'd say this is around 1875,
okay.
If I had to guess. It's not a history podcast, guys.
Sorry. Sorry.
No.
And my dates.
It's really, it's an absolutely fair question. So he's with Texas Jack, known for his gunslinging, Big Ed Burns, known for strangling his enemies, and my favorite, Troublesome Tom, who was, and I will try to say this with a straight face, known for his 12-inch dirk. And you better believe I had to Google dirk. I did not know. Do you guys know what a dirk is? Is that just a common term here?
Is it a pen?
In a sense.
A gun.
In a sense.
Is that how you say Derek?
Do you guys all know what a dirk is? I think you'd say
a knife.
Dirk. Derek, terrible. It's a knife.
Is it a knife?
Yes, oh. It's a dagger. I didn't know this. It was a dagger once carried by Scottish Highlanders. Ooh. And I found out that an earlier spelling was dork. Even better, give me a 12-inch dork any day. Now, collectively, these guys were...
Sorry.
Oh, getting a snort is just the best. It's the best compliment. Collectively, they were known as the Soap Gang. Why? What's with all the soap nicknames? It has to do with one of the gang's most famous cons. So your next question is, how could bars of soap be used in a con?
How could bars of soap be used? I mean, I guess you can hide things in them.
Okay.
So like, or could you press a key into it and make a print thing? And then, like, use it in the shower and be like, oh, fucked it. That's exactly what I would do. I'd be like, oh, now I've used the key soap! So,
a very unreliable mould.
Yeah.
Okay.
Could it be that the soap was only given to someone who shouldn't be in a place or something?
Ooh.
And then when you use it, you don't get clean, you get dirtier.
Ooh. It's poison soap. Oh no.
Well, like it's a dye comes off.
And then they're a marked person.
Yes.
Ooh, like those tablets you chew to show where you're not brushing very well.
I don't know about that, but
do you not do that here?
What is it?
Yes,
sorry.
You do.
A what?
As a kid, they would give us these tablets to chew, and it would show where you weren't brushing well because it sticks to the plaque. Oh. But you just have a fucking red mouth. Like the whole, you're like, I'm not brushing at all. It was ridiculous.
Really?
You never did that.
Yeah, now it sounds like a prank I had as a kid.
It does. It sounds a bit like a prank. I like this, though. So it might, somebody that shouldn't be where they are uses it, and then they're caught out because they're blue.
Yes.
I love this.
Why are you surprised that British teeth aren't as good? Like, that's just a thing, right?
Oh, no, you guys are fine.
The great... Well, what was it... What was it called? The great soap swindle?
They were known as the Soap Gang.
They were known as
and
the Soap Gang.
And his nickname is Jefferson Soapy Smith because of this.
See, I'm
con.
Getting...
I've changed my mind.
Oh, okay. All right.
Oh, I was just going to say, I was getting vibes of the Wet Bandits in Home Alone. So maybe they, like, flood a house and make it really bubbly before they go, after they've rubbed it.
I mean, you couldn't get angry if that happened. If the burglars are leaving bubbles, I'm just like, bing, bing, bing.
I think we're overthinking it.
Okay.
I think that they were just clean.
Okay.
I think they were the cleanest
stink.
Gang in the West.
Because yeah,
they were quite dirty back then, weren't they?
I would assume so, yes.
And it would be quite unusual to be a clean, a violent gang.
They just didn't stink.
Here's the clean guys killing everyone.
Yeah,
again.
No one would expect them to be violent because they look so dapper.
But they're just really clean.
Yeah.
Is it okay. that?
I wish it were. Hannah, I suppose you were the closest. So here's how the con would go. The gang would set up a table in a busy market stacked with unwrapped bars of soap for sale. And then Soapy would show the crowd $5 bills, $10 bills, $50 bills, wrap random bars with the cash, and then wrap all the soap with the paper. And this is how bored people were in the 19th century, that they'd stay around for all of this. But people got very excited. If I buy this bar of soap, I might get a jackpot. And of course, the first customer to buy the soap would always get the $50 bill. But guess what? That guy was a plant.
It's Texas Jack, wasn't it?
It was Texas Jack.
Of course it fucking was.
Or maybe the guy needed to wash his dirk. So they'd make a big show of it, and then they would sell it. And of course, it was all sleight of hand. And Soapy was the best at this con. He could keep all of the wrap bars, you know, from side. Yeah. He was a very good salesperson. So that's how they got known as the Soap Gang.
For a gang, that's fucking lame, isn't it?
It's a little bit.
I was going to say, that's just auctioning.
That would be like a child could do that, really, couldn't they?
It feels a bit simple. I'm tempted to do it on the Royal Mile just to recoup some of our flat expenses. See how we go. Yeah, okay. It is very simple, and it's very innocent in a way. But the gang built up a decent fortune pulling off this and some other scams, including rigged games of poker, three-card Monty, and Soapy decided it was time to move on to a bigger city. Your next question is, where did he go? I'm going to give you a hint. It's known as the Mile High City.
Is it Chicago?
Ooh, okay.
Isn't the Mile High Club like in
In Plains?
pregnancy is making me creepy,
oh,
guys.
Hannah.
But it is in Plains, but like Mile High, so it's up a mountain.
Yes, it's a very hilly city. So
Aspen, is that up a mountain?
Uh-huh, okay, that's
Colorado.
A good guess.
Nice.
Okay, yes, it is in Colorado. You are absolutely
I don't need to reveal.
It is in Aspen.
Shit. I was going to go, oh no, they've guessed it. I guess I can't show off my knowledge. But now I can show off that I know nothing about American geography.
It's Denver.
Oh, that is what I was going to say, actually, yeah.
Drunk women solving crime.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number smart beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number 1 in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
In Denver, Soapy quickly gets in with the local police and politicians, and then he opens an establishment. Question, what was that establishment?
Oh.
He opens an establishment.
He opens an establishment.
Is it the body shop?
The body shop. Yeah. I've always had a love for soap.
Oh my God, did he invent Lush? Was he like, we're going to pump that smell throughout the whole fucking shopping mall? And you're going to think you like it, and then you go in and you feel a bit sick.
Oh, Lush. Walking past a Lush is like the gates of hell.
He's not on his own, right? He's still got all his family.
He's still got some of these sidekicks with him, helping him out. But
no,
he's,
his family, like from before.
No, family are staying behind in Texas.
Oh.
They send him on.
They send him on?
Yeah, they stay behind in Texas. This is just Soapy on his own.
Oh.
Solo Soapy. Soapy alone.
Wait, is he still with the gang, though? The Texas, the whole...
Yeah. He's still got his henchmen.
But did they leave under bad... Like, were they on friendly terms when he left?
I know this is such a female podcast. What was happening with his family?
How are they feeling?
I'm just saying, often with gangs, branch out on your own, you're often not allowed to do that, are you?
No, these guys come along and they work for him at
this establishment. So he's still part of the franchise.
Uh-huh. Guys, I'm just going to give it to you. It's... We'll never finish. It's a saloon, but not just any saloon. It's a saloon full of vice. So inside you could find all sorts of gambling tables and games. There was a girl, if that's your sort of thing. There were dodgy investments, if that's your sort of thing. And over the door of that saloon was the Latin phrase, caveat emptor. Does anyone know what caveat emptor means?
Is that Latin?
It is Latin.
Well, it's got to be this... Enter, but there are caveats or something.
Yes.
Enter at your peril.
Oh, yes.
I mean, it basically is. It means buyer beware.
Oh.
Yeah. So he was basically just cheating everybody in plain sight, but in that really smug Oxford kind of way. Like, well, if you know Latin.
He's got them with the small print.
That's it. You won't squander your money if you're educated. That was basically it.
But you could say, oh, it's like a hipster thing. Like, oh, I get it, but I'm happy to be conned.
Yeah.
It was a bit of a hipster move, soapy saloon.
I love, like, now we have, like, live, laugh, love.
How things have changed.
We've softened.
But, yeah, he's basically admitting that all the games are rigged. You don't have a chance in hell of winning. It's basically the British Podcast Awards.
Whoa. Oh, no, she...
Nomination only? I don't think so. Now, Soapy is bold. He is committing all of these crimes, but he's filling the right pockets. So he doesn't get caught at first, but something eventually does push him out of town. What do you think that might have been?
Something eventually pushes him out of town.
That's it.
Is it something that happens in the saloon? I think it's a crime that happens that wasn't his fault on his premises.
Oh, okay. All right.
That's good.
Yeah, that's good thinking. I like it.
I'm trying to think of something funny, and all I can think of is logic.
What's your logic? Give us your logic.
I've got two.
All right, two logics.
Two logics.
It's better than one.
A cop chased him out of town.
Okay.
Or he's trying to evade a paternity suit.
Ah, little baby soapy. I like that. Okay, Hannah, any advance?
Did the sign with the Latin on it, did it fall on someone's head and kill them? And he was just like, I've got to get out of there.
That would be great.
Because even then, Americans were litigious.
Yeah.
We're suing.
But then if he's chased out of town, if he's got a dodgy saloon and everything's fine, mm-hmm. and probably a lot of people know that he's a bit dodge, mm-hmm. yeah. but then something runs him out of town. He doesn't seem like the type of guy who would just run out of town for no good reason.
That's a good point. Is it a rival? Is it an even bigger gang that he's pissed off and now he's outnumbered?
Well,
did
in a
someone
sense,
catch him sticking his finger up a dog's ass. It's biting me.
Did he spit on someone?
He spit on a dog's ass. It was a little bit of everything.
Wow. There's a line.
Okay. Look, I have dogs, and I will do what I like with them. That's why you adopt them.
What?
No. Do you know what? Katie, in a sense, it was a bigger gang. It was a committee. The citizens of Denver were getting tired of all the vice and fun and gambling. So they form a committee. They take things to the media. And suddenly the newspapers are plastering Soapy's face in the paper, connecting him with all this illegal activity. He is the downfall of Denver, making him enemy number one, so finally he skips town. He thinks, I'll move on. He sets his sights on a brand new state where some very exciting stuff is going down at this time. In fact, everyone's in quite a rush to get there. What state do you think he was heading for?
Where does Jeffrey Rush come from, man? I love it when you give us hints, but...
So where's all the gold, then?
Yeah.
Where's the gold?
Oh, God, I don't know. Is it...
Fuck, where's Deadwood set?
Aren't we just like the real detectives? It's like you're in the room.
Oh man, this is confronting. California, was there gold in California?
There was gold in California.
Yeah, that's, I knew that.
That's good, yeah. No, this is so unfair. I'm asking all the questions I would have gotten wrong back in school. And I'm like, well, I have the answers here. I shall tell you, the California gold rush was earlier. It was from 1848 to 1855, as everybody knows.
As I suspected, actually, yeah.
This was known as the Klondike gold rush. It was in Alaska. But it wasn't even the gold that attracted Soapy to Alaska. There was another reason. Why would a fraudster want to go to a state that's barely been established?
Was it Huskies assholes?
Huskies.
Oh, they won't be assholes? They won't be organized to have a committee to chuck him out.
Okay. Okay.
To mine something new.
Uh-huh.
That nobody else had.
Ooh. Okay. And like he knew about the oil.
To exploit that area.
Ooh, very good.
Of its natural resources or something that they had, and it's far away.
Yeah. No, this is all very good thinking. Katie, you are correct. Oh. People were moving there so quickly for the gold that there was no infrastructure, there's no police force, there's nobody he has to worry about, so he can just do whatever he likes. It is 1880 now. He settles down in a place called Skagway, which I assume is a grocery store for sluts. Hi, welcome to Skagway. Of course I'm joking. There's no such thing as a slut. And that's the name of my sex tape. For real. No such thing. He sets up shop again. He runs another dodgy saloon. But this time, he runs a telegraph con. So basically, he is praying. He makes a ton of money with us because he's preying on people's need to communicate with others back home. So how do you think, he's got all the gear, he's got a proper telegraph machine, he pays for that, everything's wired up, people come in to send a message back home, how do you think the con worked?
Well, they'd pay a lot of money for it.
They would pay a lot of money for it.
It sounds like the Elon Musk of his day. Did he come in?
He wasn't sending it and he was writing the replies.
Okay. Ooh,
I thought he was catfishing an entire state.
Dear Paul, it's Aunt Midge. I've never liked you. You know what, Paul? I wouldn't telegraph again.
Or was it to do with gold? Would he be sending messages about gold and then not returning them or something? Saying, what could he be saying? So if someone legitimately found some gold, he would read it and then not send.
He's getting the intel of where the gold is and then lying to people.
Like okay.
So I'm just copying you.
I'm
just agreeing with you slash copying you.
Yeah.
I'm just snowballing.
Because it has to be something to do with gold, right?
It has nothing to do with gold.
Oh.
It's much simpler than you're going.
Oh.
It's really simple.
So he's just not sending them?
He was just not sending them.
Okay.
that is all what right. Bridget said first.
But he wasn't even bothering with replies or anything back. It's just that the wires went into the wall and they stopped there.
Wow.
That is actually horrible.
It's so horrible.
I think that's the worst thing he's done. I hate this guy.
Much worse than the fingers up all the canine bums, for sure.
Can I ask, where's his family? Is he just on his own? Where's the original plantation family with all these, where are they?
We've never had anyone that's so worried about the family, and I think it's so lovely.
He's just this guy goes, here he goes, there.
He's got
no responsibilities.
No, I love this. I mean, they've basically lost their money. So they're no good to him. I think he was quite a selfish man.
No.
So he's just off trying to make his own fortune.
Right.
As far as we know, I don't think he sent any money back home.
Certainly didn't call them, did he?
Certainly didn't call them. Dear mother, I wish you could read this.
But what and who is he going to spend it on? This is the thing. Oh. There's no point in having all this gold if he's just on his own, surely.
That's such a good point.
Oh, this guy.
How lonely was Sophie?
Yeah.
When you dig deep.
So he's just got wires going into the wall.
And then everyone thinks Alaska is ghosting them.
Yeah. Oh, sorry. Hi. I've just seen how much kava was left. There's a lot. It's good. Yeah. It's great news.
Yeah, we're not drinking enough.
Oh, yeah.
No. It's not.
Look, I'm so intrigued with this.
I'm drinking cranberry juice because I have a touch of the old cystite. And but I was told that you can only get cystitis by not going for a wee straight after sex. But I, for one, am a little bit too classy to go for a wee in an alleyway.
Isle of Wight. I don't know as much about Gloucester, but wow. Oh.
So are we calling him Soapy?
Soapy,
what was his
Soapy?
Original name when he was... I'm so sorry.
Does anyone else remember? Jefferson, well done!
We call him Jefferson.
Well done, actually, paying attention. I have the paper upside down. Like it was Jefferson. Jefferson Smith.
Right, let's call him Jack Jefferson.
You want to call him Jefferson?
I'm going to call him Jefferson, but obviously
that's fine.
Can call him.
They're so taking away the power of his gang status.
Well,
Bridget,
you've recognised what an empty man this is. He's not looking after his family.
No, I just wonder. There's no mention of them. That's all.
They're just gone.
As bloody usual. No, it's just. Oh, and then there he goes off and does this. Oh, great. Well done, mate. No, it's just. There's no. You know. Meanwhile, they're. I'm just curious, that's all. But I'm going to call him Jefferson.
No, that's absolutely fine.
That's okay.
It's fine. That was his name. His given name, his Christian name.
Jefferson.
Yes, it should be. Now, before you know it, there are some more concerned citizens forming committees again to try to take Soapy down.
Jefferson. Sorry, why? But he's only doing the wires into the wall. Why is there another committee? What else is he doing? Do we know?
Oh, well,
yeah.
Sorry, I said it very quickly, but he has also set up other saloons. Like, he's up to all of his old tricks. There's still poker rings going on and dog rings and lots of rings.
Oh, no.
So many rings.
Not dogs.
And at this point, a police force has formed by now. This is 5-10 years gone by, so the infrastructure is building.
Yeah, this is literally the plot of Deadwood.
I mean, is it?
Well, they go to the Wild West, the former town, and they're like, there's no law in Deadwood. We can do what we like. But then eventually they're like, guys, we need a police force. And then Deadwood is also ruined for people that want to break the law.
Do you think they know about Jefferson?
I think they've based it on Jefferson.
I wouldn't be surprised if there was a bit of this in Deadwood, because I feel like I read that. And then didn't write it down. And this is part of the fun of Drunk Women Solving Crime, is you can go and learn more. And learn it more accurately and less drunkly. It's your choice. No, I really think that this might be involved in... I couldn't watch Deadwood, because the very first episode, like, it's just vomit. There's just so much poo and... Do you know what I mean? It was really visceral.
I haven't seen it.
Yeah.
Like, I sort of want to see it now. Sounds cool.
Am I confusing this with Human Centipede? I keep a to-do list of what I've seen, so I'll just have to cross-check it. But yeah.
So there's a committee now.
There's a committee?
There's a committee.
And this committee gives itself a name. Your next question, just for fun, is what was the name of this committee that wanted to take Jefferson down?
Get Jefferson out.
Yeah, like the No Homers Club.
Fuck you, Soapy. I don't know. They might have been not very nice people.
It was the Committee Against Vice and Gambling and Fun and...
Is it the God Squad? Is that what
they're
called?
It's going to be.
It's going to really be some...
There's going to be a religious element.
All of your answers have already been much better than the truth. It was Committee 101.
Oh, that's actually quite good. But this is before... 1984, isn't it?
So it feels so ahead of its time.
It's not like a cool nod to George Orwell.
He's called Nick Hancock, but I realised that 101, I was just thinking about the 90s panel show with Nick Hancock.
What if they were soothsayers and they foresaw it?
Wasn't it called Room 101?
There is a panel show called Room 101, but it's from 1984, which is, it's the room that everything disappears in.
And is that from a book?
Yeah.
All right, I mean, I believe you thousands wouldn't, but go on.
She didn't read any books in that alleyway. in jest, Soapy Jefferson sets up a counter committee, just to be snarky, called Committee 330.
Oh, wow.
Wow. Really? He does committee battle.
Committee battle. Yeah. It's all very innocent for a crime, isn't it? Like, it's very twee.
But they couldn't get him on anything in particular. They just didn't like him. They didn't like that he was corrupting lots of presumably vulnerable men in the towns who were
this
just spunking all their money That's on gambling it. And going into the saloon and stuff like that. So Absolutely. Actually what his crime was ruining society
yeah.
and the fluid cohesion of communities and, you know, love and the, you know, the way that things should work. He's come in like a tornado and he's gone, hey, just give us all your money and feel bad about yourself.
This is it.
That's yeah. what he's
How
done.
Well said.
Yeah. Yes, you're right.
That's what his crime was.
It absolutely
to
was.
To wreak havoc.
You've gotten to the very heart of the case. He was almost like a one-man capitalism tornado.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
You said it better. I shouldn't have tried.
I really don't think I did.
He really shook there, though, so that was fun.
Well, I hope he hangs.
I hope he hangs.
sorry, I don't.
Well.
Oh, no.
Oh, no.
There's a hanging in Deadwood in the first episode. Sorry, continue.
Is there?
Yeah. And he vomits and he shits himself. It was just too much.
I
and I like dark stuff.
I remember that.
Again, it might have been human centipede. Centipede. That's the one about a fax machine. Connected to a fax machine. Connected to another fax machine.
No, don't encourage her. No. No.
Oh, hey. Please.
He is now, there's two committees trying to get him out.
Yes, but this time he's like, I'm not going to let a silly little committee push me out of town. This is my state. I am Alaska. One day, a man comes into town with a sack of gold. This is not a euphemism. It's an actual sack of gold. But Old Soapy decides, I'm going to con this guy out of his fortune. So he plays a rigged card game. The guy plays along, but when he loses, he realizes that he's been conned, and he refuses to pay up. So your next question is, what happens next?
He realizes he's been conned, and he refuses to pay up. Now,
yes.
Up until this point, Jefferson has not really... I mean, he's a petty criminal in my mind, right? Mm-hmm. But he's not Sopranos level.
Sure.
He's not, we haven't heard that he's killed anyone horribly, yeah. cut any fingers off, shot anyone,
yeah.
killed anyone.
It's all lighthearted
conning. It's all quite lighthearted.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
My question is, and I'm supposed to be answering something, I think, is that if he does do something terrible, mm-hmm. what is the thing that pushed him over the edge? Ooh. Is it that in this town in Alaska, he has been able to be the big man in a small pond?
Mm-hmm.
And that yeah. has like fed him and fed him and fed
yeah.
him. And he's like, I've got too much to lose now. I'm the big guy here.
Yeah.
And pretty much like the gang on the subway.
Yes.
He's now got yeah. to do something to show everyone that he's...
Oh, the ego's taken over.
Yes.
Yes.
This is my town and this guy won't pay up, so I'm going to have to do something to elevate my status
yeah.
and show everyone in this town that yeah. if they try this bullshit on me, this will happen to them as well.
He's got to scare them off and make an yeah. example.
So then what I think he does is he gets some soap... gives himself a wash and says, yep, proud dudes, yep. No, I don't think that. I think Jefferson's a coward. I just don't think he...
Yeah.
He's obviously okay. done something bad because it's on this...
Yeah. See, I completely agree. I'm not copying you. I'm agreeing with you. but I think you're absolutely right about his MO.
I can't see him armed. I can't see him violent.
So I'm wondering if they have to do a duel.
Well, that's what I was thinking, but I don't think he's got the courage.
You think he's too much of a coward? It would be a rigged duel.
It will be a rigged duel.
Okay.
Yes.
I was literally going to say exactly that. So.
We're just all on the same page.
I really want to.
You're very insightful. This is I love your. I love your brain. I loved it before now, but I love it. I will tell you, Soapy Jefferson instructs his men, Texas Jack and the
Alaska
guy,
Jack.
Alaska Jack.
We're back, we're back to coward version.
It doesn't work there, does it? Juno Jack. That was one for the Alaskans.
It's the capital. It's the capital city. All right.
And it's pregnant. That's all I know about Juno.
He instructs his men to grab the sack and run with it, but they can't get to it.
But see, coward himself.
Instincts of it being a coward.
He sends his men.
Exactly. Never does anything himself.
You've got the psych profile.
You
perfect.
really yeah. never leads by example. He's a coward. And that's why he will always lose.
Yeah. Committee 101 gets wind of the con and demands that Soapy return the gold to its rightful owner.
Jefferson.
Jefferson. Decides that the best way to deal with this is to get drunk and fight everybody.
Oh my god.
Oh, so he comes back.
Disappointing.
He comes back into town with his gun, because it's everybody has a gun, it's America. Now, he doesn't want to kill anybody, but somebody really stands up to him, and that man is called Frank Reed. So he hits Frank Reed over the head with the back of his rifle, and Frank shoots Jefferson 3 times, killing him.
Oh, okay.
Instantly.
Well, if it's instant, why do it 3 times? Well, I don't know a lot about guns, but don't like hit someone
just to make sure. I think
just like our podcast, all three contribute to the success.
Right.
Of the product.
But like there's one main one, okay? Yeah.
Yes, Hannah, you're the first bullet.
Your mum thinks so.
You're the deadly bullet.
That's such a compliment.
Yeah. I think I hemorrhaged his brain. I think that was what I did. He's like, can you hemorrhage a brain? I don't know. I was like, that's a medical term. I'm not even drinking.
But on his way to hitting the deck, he manages to put a few bullets into Frank. And Frank dies 12 days later. But by this time, there's a solid police force and a court system in place. So Jefferson's men are arrested for theft and for fraud, and they all wind up doing prison stints for stealing the gold. So they go down for him, basically. Yeah. And Jefferson, I have to keep correcting it because I wrote Soapy every time. I'm like, Bridget will get so mad. Say the right thing. Just to finish off this case, Jefferson was buried outside of the border of the local cemetery. So that was sort of a statement of, you're not welcome with us. You cannot lie with the rest of the dead. His grave is still there. It was unmarked for several years, but now it has a headstone which reads simply, Jefferson R. Smith. They purposely kept off the name Soapy. It's
really?
Like you called it.
Yeah.
Because that was his legacy. They said, nope, you're going to have your plain old given name.
Yeah.
So that you are not celebrated until tonight. So he died in 1898. He was only 38 years old. Let's raise a glass to Alaska.
Cheers.
Sure. Thank you. Oh, it's that exciting time, you guys. It's time for one of you to come up and tell us a story. Oh, the house lights come up, and you gotta put up your hand, because I'm not telepathic.
Oh, I see a hand.
There we are. Come on up.
Give him a round of applause.
Please come. Hello. Welcome, welcome. Use the stairs over there. Come on. Don't stop. It's humiliating when it stops. There you go. There you go. I know it's a bank holiday in Scotland. My calendar assures me. Hello. Hi, what's your name?
Maylin.
Hello, Maylin. It's very nice to have you up here. Please tell us your story.
So I was almost mugged. I was in Birmingham. It was my 20th birthday.
Okay.
We were on Broad Street. We were clubbing. And then I went to get some cash out. And I was walking back to my friends. And this guy came up to me with a knife.
Oh, it's Shit. Called a dirk, actually. I mean, we're laughing and we're learning today.
So Dirk came up to me with a knife, and he like pointed at me. He said, just give me everything you've got.
Oh, shit.
So I had my phone in my hand, I handed that over, and then I went to get my wallet, and I pulled my coat aside, and I was wearing a very large happy birthday badge that my friend had given to me.
Oh.
And so I pulled my coat aside, and Dirk said, oh, it's your birthday. And I went, yeah, I turned 20. And he said, I can't rob someone on their birthday.
Oh my god.
Yeah,
amazing.
Gave me back my phone, said happy birthday,
wow.
And then, like, disappeared into the darkness.
Oh my god.
word. That is amazing.
Unbelievable.
So I feel like now I should always wear a happy birthday.
Yeah. Oh my God. This is a life hack that we can all use.
Wow. I mean, if nothing else, we really hope that our drinking is changing lives in general. But if nothing else, take away two hints. Wear a giant happy birthday badge at all times. Failing that, wipe the saliva of the assailant back on them in the most sardonic way possible, and you'll be fine, ladies.
Your finger up a dog's bum.
And maybe. Stick your finger up a dog's bum. That is fantastic. Maylin, we're just going to give you the prize there. There's no crime to solve. Woo! You don't need our help. You foiled your own crime. Oh, my gosh. Oh, and then think of the next person they went on to. Is it your birthday? Give me your fucking iPhone. Yeah. Okay, that's a Birmingham accent. We have just enough time to ask our fantastic guest, Bridget Christie, what are you up to? Tell us about your show up here and where else we can find you and just what have you got going on?
Okay, so I'm doing my show up here until Wednesday and then I'll be touring from September to December around the country. Who am I? All dates are available on my website.
Okay.
so weird, isn't it? Plugging yourself. Yes. I shall be doing that, and people can come.
Hannah and I went to see it today, and it is outstanding.
Oh, it's so good.
So
it's
good.
So good. It's, yeah, it's amazing.
Honestly, have you seen it? Get those last tickets.
So thank you very much.
Cackling at the back. It was so good. And obviously, you've also got TV series on.
The Change is on at the moment. Apparently, the more people watch it, the more chances there are of it being recommissioned. So that's.
Loved it. I've watched it. Loved it so much.
Thank you very much.
So good.
Oh, thank you.
Really, really great.
Very kind.
I also watched it and loved it. And I loved it. My friend told me that she watched the first episode, she loved it so much, but she pretended that she hadn't seen the first episode and waited for her husband to get home. And she's like, why don't we watch this together? And so you are getting double the viewing figures for reasons
brilliant.
Like that. Yeah.
Is there any way you can just keep it on a loop, or do they know it's just the one TV doing that? Can we rig this system for a woman?
I don't know if it's per views or...
Well, I'm going to find out and commit that crime. But in the meantime, once again for our fantastic guest, Bridget Christie.
Yay, Bridget!
Thank you so much. Thank you for coming along. You've been absolutely lovely. Thanks for taking a punt on the artwork, those of you in the back. And we'll see you again, we hope. Thank you.
Yay!
Drunk Women Solving Crime is produced by Amanda Redman with music by The Lion and the Wolf. You can follow us on Twitter at Drunk Women Pod and on Facebook and Instagram at Drunk Women Solving Crime. And please review us on Apple Podcasts. Also, if you've got a petty crime you want us to solve, then please write it in that review and we'll solve it. Thank you so much to Acast for hosting us, and thank you for listening.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.